Great to be here this morning. Thank you very much. The Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchot Talmud Torah, the first three halachot, defines the nature of the mitzvah and establishes three different chiyuvim, three different obligations. The first is the obligation incumbent upon the father to teach his son Torah, which the Rambam derives in Halacha Aleph from the Pasuk V'limadetem Osam Espenechem L'daber Bam. The clear implication of the Rambam is that this obligation is a Torah obligation, it's Doraita. As the Rambam indicates, Shenema, when he quotes a Pasuk. I saw one of the Mefarshim of the Rambam who insists that this mitzvah is Darabonon and comes on the Chinuch. That's the Mishnah Kesef, was authored about three centuries ago. But I think it's a minority view. The simple, straightforward reading of the Rambam indicates that this is the opening, fundamental chiyuv min haTorah of Talmud Torah, namely obligation incumbent upon a father to teach his son Torah. The Rambam expands upon that chiyuv in halacha bet, extending it to include one's grandson, ben beno, and once again quoting a pasuk shenemar vodatem livanecha vilivnei vanecha. Then the Rambam says the following in Halacha Bet. V'lo b'no u'ben b'no bilvat. This obligation is not limited to one's son and one's grandson. El mitzvah al kol chacham v'chacham Yisrael l'lamed es kol atalmid afal pi she'enon bonov. So the Rambam clearly contrasts the opening chiyuv with the second, whereas the chiyuv incumbent upon the father only applies vis-a-vis his son or his grandson. The chiyuv on the chacham extends beyond that, and he has to teach even ben chavero, even the son of his friend. It's not his son. The Rambam derives this chiyuv likewise from a pasuk in the Torah, shenemar v'shinantam levanecha. How does v'shinantam levanecha generate a chiyuv to teach my friend's son or my friend Torah? Mipia Shmua, the Rambam says that even though the straightforward pshat in the pasuk would indicate banecha, that this is an obligation incumbent upon the father, banecha elu talmidecha, that the word banim in the Torah, not necessarily always, but at least in this context, indicates one's talmud. Shatalmidim kriyim banim. We find elsewhere in the Tanakh that a talmud is called ben. Shenemar v'yitzu b'nei hanaviim, literally the children of the prophets, but Chazal understood that doesn't refer to the children of the prophets, but rather the disciples of the prophets, and therefore a ben indicates a talmud. The word ben indicates a talmud. Then the Rambam goes on, and in a very atypical way, to the best of my knowledge, is to the extent to which I'm familiar with the Rambam's approach and his writings, this is very, very unique that the Rambam, like a Tosfos, will ask a kash and say a teretz. So the Rambam asks the following question. In kein lama nitztave al b'no v'al ben b'no? Why then did the Torah command a person to teach his son and his son's son? Meaning, after all, once we have a shinantam levanecha, mipi ha-shmua lamdu, banecha il talmidecha. So the mitzvah of a shinantam levanecha is all-encompassing, all-inclusive. It's not limited to one's son, one's grandson. Blood relationships are irrelevant. Why then do I need a mitzvah of limadetem osam esbenechem? Even if this child, if this young man were not my son, and were not my grandson, nevertheless I'd be obligated to teach him Torah under the law, under the mitzvah of a shinantam levanecha. A brilliant kash of the Rambam. The Rambam offers either one answer or perhaps two answers, but certainly one answer. And the Rambam's answer is lahakdim b'no leven b'no, uven b'no leben chavero. We'll sort of summarize this answer, the Rambam, in one word, kadima. Kadima means, of course, if everything is in a perfect world and I can be in two places at once or many places at once, or I have an endless amount of energy or resources, then I can teach my son and your son as well. There doesn't necessarily have to be a conflict between the two. But, says the Rambam, there may be situations in which it's impossible to fulfill both. I have a choice situation. Either I teach my son Torah or I teach your son Torah. So then it becomes a question of kedima, which comes first. Supposing, for example, the two children are separated geographically by great distances, I can't possibly teach them both. Or, for example, supposing I would have to pay tuition for my son, and we'll come back to this point in a minute, tuition for your son, now I guess that would be called an our parlance a scholarship fund. If I only have X amount of resources, I can't pay for both my son and your son. I'm limited in the amount of money I could spend. Which comes first? So that's the law of kedima. And here, the Rambam says that the mitzvah of limaditam osam es b'neichem, which is incumbent on a father vis-a-vis his son, takes precedence over the mitzvah of shinantam levanech. Therefore, kedima applies to the ben, and if it's a choice between ben beno and ben chavero, his own grandson or someone else's son, then once again we apply the rule of kedima based on the pasuk vodatam levanecha ulivnei vanecha, which elevates the chiyuv of a grandfather vis-a-vis his grandson to a special chiyuv that trumps, that overrides the mitzvah of the shinantam levanecha vis-a-vis ben chavero, and therefore ben beno would come before ben chavero. So we have the following sequence, precedence, and order. We have Beno is number one on the list, then Ben Beno, and then finally Ben Chamir. Does the Rambam offer a second answer to this question? Well, let's take a look at Halacha Gimel. Now, notice, if you will, I added a few words there before Halacha Gimel in brackets, because when you learn the Rambam, especially what I call in the post-Shabsi Frankel era, Shabsi Frankel, Zichron Levracha, published the Frankel Rambam, and what he introduced into the yeshiva world, and it's amazing what revolution has taken place, is the sensitivity towards the Kitvei Yad. And time after time, you'll see discrepancies between the manuscripts that were circulated for 3 centuries between the time of the Rambam and the time of the printing press 5 centuries ago, and the printed editions of the Rambam. And what's been demonstrated quite clearly is that there was a lot of tampering with the Rambam, the text of the Rambam. And what we look at when we open up a Rambam, I'm not talking about the Frankel edition, but the old standard editions that we all acquired for our bar mitzvah or for our weddings. I remember my father-in-law bought us for our wedding this MP Press Rambam. I mean, if you dropped it on someone's foot, you know, they would sue you for damages. I mean, but today, frankly speaking, that Rambam is totally obsolete in my Ashkafa, because of the Frankel edition of the Rambam that has totally supplanted the editions of the Rambam that we have. So in the Shabsai Frankel edition of the Rambam, he points out that the next line, which opens up Halacha Gimel in the printed editions of the Rambam, really belongs to Halacha Bet. And as everyone here knows, the Rambam is extremely sensitive to classifying halachot. When he ends one halacha, that means the topic is concluded, and he begins another halacha with a new topic. And the question is whether the next line in the Rambam is part of the previous halacha or opens up Halacha Gimel. According to the Kitvei Yad, this next line in the Rambam, which we have again in Halacha Gimel, really belongs at the conclusion of Halacha Bet. In the printed Rambams, however, it opens up Halacha Gimel. The Rambam says in Halacha Gimel, or as I said in the Kitvei Yad, the end of Halacha Bet, V'chayav l'skor malamed libno, should it be that a father cannot personally teach his son Torah, he's obligated to hire a teacher to pay tuition for his son's Torah education, ulamdo. V'eino chayav l'lamed ben chavero ela b'china. By contrast, he's not obligated to teach the son of his friend, unless he can personally do so. It's what we call a chiyuv of Torah Haguf, meaning it's not a financial obligation, but rather a physical obligation. And if you're capable of teaching your friend's son Torah, you have to do so. But if you cannot, you're not obligated, according to strict halacha, in paying for your friend's son tuition. You don't have to pay his tuition. Ela bechinah. So it's only a mitzvah on the goof. It's not what we call a chiyuv mamon, to spend money for the Talmud Torah of Ben Chavero. This, again, if you accept the Kitvei Yad, logically would make sense that this is part of halacha bet, because the Rambam is offering a second answer to the question of Imkein lama nitztave al bino val ben bino. What's unique and what's special about the chiyuv to teach one's son Torah, or for that matter one's grandson Torah, is that it's a financial obligation, as opposed to v'shinantam levanecha, which imposes nothing more than a Torah chaguf. This girsa, the Rambam of the Kisvei Yad, I believe, is the girsa of the Kesef Mishnah. Although the Kesef Mishnah does not say so explicitly, by implication, I think that's the conclusion that I would suggest. The Vav of the Chayav at the beginning of Halacha Gimel would also lend support to the Kitvei Yad. In general, the Kitvei Yad are more reliable than the printed texts of the Rambam. And not only that, the next part of Halacha Gimel begins a whole other topic. The question of someone who was not taught Torah by his father. And therefore it would seem to me that it makes a lot of sense to accept the Kitvei Yad. But why do I say that the Kesef Mishnah did so? The Kesef Mishnah writes the following. This is in your second source on the page. Kavanat Rabbeinu. The intention of the Rambam is latet shnei hevdelim, to offer two distinctions, bein bino leben chavero. Echa, the first, the bno kodem, the din of kedim, as we said before, and sheni, number two, the bno chayav liskor lo melamed, im hu eino yachol, avol ben chaviro, eino chayav liskor lo melamed, the dafka b'torach haguf mitchayav al lo bohotzaak mamono. From the fact that the Kesef Mishnah lumps together these two points of the Rambam as two distinctions between the chiyuv of the father vis-a-vis his son or his grandson on the one hand, the chiyuv to teach ben chavero the v'shinantan on the other, would seem to indicate, I can't take a shvua on it, that he had this all under one halach. But be that as it may, it's clear the Kesef Mishnah is outspoken to the fact that the Rambam gives us two explanations or two justifications for the special mitzvah of the father, incumbent upon the father vis-a-vis his son or his grandson. Number one, let's review them, kedima, and number two, the halach of schar. You know, if I could take just a moment of sort of digression, I live in Eretz Yisrael, and when I come to the States, I'm sort of like a tourist here, so coming back to yeshiva, it's a very emotional experience for me. In this building, I sat at the feet of Rav Soloveitchik for 5 years, and from time to time, actually, he used to give shiur in this room on special occasions. So it's a little bit of nostalgia for me. Now, I have to tell you one thing. In the 5 years I learned by the Rav, you can probably count on less than a hand the amount of times that he quoted the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah somehow wasn't on his radar screen. Magid Mishnah was a Rishon. I think the reason for this is not because the Rav had anything against the Kesef Mishnah, Maran HaMachaber, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, of Yosef Cairo, but simply because the Rav didn't want to be clouded. His vision, he wanted to be free to interpret the Rambam Lefi Daito, you know, without having to be imposed upon from the outside, you know, because the Rav's originality. He didn't feel necessary to see the Kesef Mishnah. But I would like to say the following. You know, in the years since I left the Shia, teaching, as it were, in Eretz Yisrael, but teaching a lot of Rambam, I find that it's literally impossible to learn the Rambam for us without the Kesef Mishnah. For 5 centuries, since the Kesef Mishnah has been published, there's literally thousands of Sfarim have been written on the Rambam, and I can't think of a single Sefer that I know of, and it's all in the Sefer HaMafteach of Frankel Rambam, that doesn't begin with the Kesef Mishnah. All the Gedolei Yisrael, over 5 centuries, see the Kesef Mishnah and its relationship to the Rambam as you would see Rashi and his relationship to Chumash. You know, imagine not looking into Rashi and Chumash. You know, all of the Farshim look at Rashi and Chumash, and everything's a takeoff of Rashi. The same way the Kesef Mishnah is the starting point for any analysis of the Rambam. It doesn't mean you have to agree with the Kesef Mishnah, but you can't just skip over it. And the more I study the Kesef Mishnah, the greater and the deeper my admiration for him becomes. Well, having said that, let's get back to our topic. As we said before, the Rambam, in a very unique way asks a kasha. In came woman it's tava al beno. Once having postulated the mitzvah to teach ben chavero, derived from the shinantam levanecha, what says the Rambam is the justification for the mitzvah of limanatem osam espenecha? As we'd say in Yiddish, azoy frek the Rambam. I don't understand the kasha of the Rambam. If the Rambam is searching for some sort of justification for the chiyuv of the father to teach his son Torah, and he comes up with two answers, I don't get it. The chiyuv of the father to teach his son Torah is fundamentally different than the chiyuv of the shinantam levanecha to teach ben chavero. These are two chiyuvim that, in a very fundamental way, are different one from the other. Let me try and demonstrate that. When the Rambam defines the mitzvah of teaching ben chavero, let's see the language of the Rambam. He writes, mitzvah al kol chacham v'chacham b'Yisrael l'lamedes kol ha-talmidim. Quite explicitly in the Rambam, the precondition for this mitzvah v'shinantam uvanech is what, in a word? A chacham. Is everyone a chacham? Interesting, the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus describes a case of a person who marries a woman, avanash shami chacham. And the Rambam says that if you can ask him a question in any part of the Torah and he can answer without stuttering, he's a chacham, and the kedushin is valid. Obviously, the word chacham, which is very popular amongst the Sephardim, we borrow it, but the Sephardim speak about chacham, but certainly in the context of the Rambam, the word chacham is a very specific term. But would one postulate that the chiyuv of limanatem osam as b'neichem is conditional, is contingent on the fact that the father is a chacham? So what we have here, if we compare and contrast the mitzvah of limanatem osam to the mitzvah of shinantam levanecha, are two fundamentally different mitzvot. The mitzvah of limanatem on the one hand is absolute. It's unconditional. If you're a father, you're a father. That's it. That's your obligation vis-a-vis your son in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If you're incapable of teaching your son, then we'll have to rack our brains and find another way of fulfilling that chiyuv. But certainly, it's not conditional upon the fact that you're a chacham. The Rambam never says so. V'shinantam levanecha, on the other hand, v'necha mitiyashmu alon du'eilu talmidecha. That's a mitzvah on a chacham. If I'm not a chacham, then I'm not obligated in this mitzvah. Number two, and I think this is equally fundamental in the distinction between the two mitzvahs, the two obligations. In the case of a son, I can't pass on that chiyuv to anyone else. One son, one father, that's the ratio. I'm obligated. No one else is, because I'm the boy's father. Not so in the case of the chacham. Take a look at the Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam says, Mitzvah kol chacham v'chacham Yisrael l'lamid es kol ha-talmidim. Now, if we take this literally, you know, and translate it verbose, you know, verbatim in English, it sounds like if I'm a chacham, I have to teach every single Talmud on the face of the earth. But that's logistically impossible. I can't be expected to fly to Panama and teach the Talmidim there if I live in Yerushalayim. But I think rather the punchline of the word is kol ha-talmidim, emphasizing the word kol here, which seems to be completely superfluous in the Rambam, is klal ha-talmidim, meaning that the obligation here is an obligation not vis-a-vis one particular Talmud, but the Chachamim in general. If we created a body, an institute of a chaverut of all the chacham in the world, as a body, as a unit, the chachamim are obligated to guarantee that kol ha-talmidim, that all the students are studying. What that would mean is that if I am a chacham living in a particular location and there's no other chacham to teach your son in that location, I would be obligated to do so. But please understand, my obligation to teach your son is not a chovas gavra. It's not my particular unique obligation.
Just by matter of chance, no one else is there to teach your son. So in a default position, I have to teach your son. But that's not an obligation that's uniquely related to me. Masha'en came in contrast, in the case of a father's obligation under the limadatam osam is b'neichem, that's a chovas gavra. That's the father's fundamental chiyuv. Just as he has a chiyuv to be mal his son, to circumcise his son, he has a chiyuv to be poda his son if he's a bechar. The Brisa and Masechta Kedushin combines them all together. A father is obligated to teach his son, to circumcise his son, to be poda his son. This is a chovas gavra b'toras av. Insofar as this is my son and I'm his father, I have a chiyuv to teach him Torah. Not so in the case of Chacham. You can't point to any particular Chacham in any particular Talmud and say, you have to teach this Talmud Torah. Could be that circumstances would require so. Because as the representative of the Klal HaChachamim, and as this Talmud is representative of the Klal HaTalmidim, it may fall upon you the obligation to see to it that he studies Torah. But there's nothing unique about your particular situation, halachically, again, logistically perhaps, the mitzvahs perhaps, but not halachically, that obligates you as a chacham to teach him as a Talmud. Is therefore the mitzvah of teaching Torah to the Talmidim, which is incumbent upon the chachamim, is radically, fundamentally different than the chiyuv of a father to teach his son. And the proof of the pudding is that these two mitzvahs, as the Rambam formulates them, are derived from two different psukim in the Torah. One is a chiyuv of a father, v'limadatam osam is b'neichem. The other is a chiyuv of talmideichem. Again, the Torah says, v'shinatam levanecha, but we know that that's not what it means. It means talmidim. True, I grant you that the Rambam has come up with two technical, if you pardon the expression, technical justifications for the special mitzvah of limadatam osam es b'neichem. But those are technicalities. But the question the Rambam begs to be understood, what bothered the Rambam's mind when he asked him, came lomenitz tava al b'no? What do you mean lomenitz tava al b'no? That's my unique chiv as a father. Am I a chacham? Am I not a chacham? Irrelevant. Is my son here or he's on the other side of the world? Irrelevant. Can I pass on this obligation to someone else? Absolutely not. Shinatam levanecha is an entirely different chiyuv. So what I would like to raise with you this morning is what bothered the mind of the Rambam. If we take the Rambam at simple, straight value, the way I think the Kesef Mishnah understood it, the Rambam's cash is tamua. Yesh l'tamua al kushas haRambam. In Kein Laman it's tava, as if we could drop the pasuk v'limadatam osam es b'neichem, just white it out from the Torah. It doesn't make any sense at all. V'limadatam osam es b'neichem is the beginning of Hilchas Talmud Torah. That's how the Rambam opens up the mitzvah, the chiyuv of Talmud Torah, because that's the unique obligation of a father visiting his son. I would like to suggest, again, you know, Torah hivalumot anitzorech, and obviously there's no way I can force anyone in the audience to accept my reinterpretation of the Rambam, but I would like to make an attempt. And obviously you only appreciate this if you feel my pain, you know, if you're empathetic to my yesh l'tamo al kushas haRambam, you know, that the Rambam's kasha doesn't make any sense, then you might be inclined to reinterpret the Rambam. I would suggest that the Rambam is not asking a kasha at all. It's not like, you know, a v'im tomar and tosos. The Rambam is rather asking, if we could differentiate between a kasha and a she'ela, the Rambam is asking a she'ela. And here's the case. Supposing, in a particular circumstance, there's an overlap between these two obligations. Let's say, for example, I'm a Rebbe teaching a class, and amongst the students sitting in the classroom are my son or my grandson and your son. And the question arises, what would be in this case? Clearly I'm obligated to teach all the Talmidim in the class, including my son and my grandson, under the law of Vishinantam Levanecha. Because I'm a Chacham, I'm standing in front of the class, these are my Talmidim. The Rambam would like to know, in that particular circumstance, Would there be any new dinim, new halachot, new principles, that are generated by the mitzvah of limadatam osam es b'necha? Again, just for chazorah purposes. The Rambam does not feel compelled to justify the pasuk, the mitzvah of limadatam osam es b'necha. That's an absolute obligation, stands on its own two feet. As we said before, it's uniquely different than the mitzvah of v'shinantam uvanecha. The Rambam rather is raising a question for the benefit of our knowledge, to broaden our horizons. Would the mitzvah of limadatam osam es b'necha be relevant in an overlap situation where I would be, as a matter of fact, a chacham, and I have to teach not only my talmidim who are not related to me, ben chavero, but in this particular case, b'no as well, on the new dinim that are generated by the fact that the Torah commands me in a particular way to teach my son Torah? Are we on the same page? How many people are following my, just by show of hands, are following my approach? So the Rambam's answer is yes. The mitzvah of limadatem osam es b'nechem, which imposes a chiyuv, a unique chiyuv on the father vis-a-vis his son, not only is it justified in its own right, but will generate new dinim that have halachic practical ramifications, even if I grant you that you would be obligated to teach your son under the general mitzvah of kol chacham v'chacham v'yisrael laman is kol ha-talmidim, namely the pasuk v'shinantam uvanech. There are still dinim that are relevant, even though I'm chayav vis-a-vis my son in the mitzvah of v'shinantam uvanech. And these new dinim are derived from the pasuk v'limadatam osam es b'nechem. So, in essence, what the Rambam is trying to tell us is that v'limadatam osam es b'nechem, in addition to generating a chiyuv which is independent, which is unique unto itself, that imposes special chiyuv on the father, beyond that, the mitzvah of limadatam osam es b'nechem generates dinim, even if I'm obligated at the same time in the mitzvah of v'shinantam levanecha, because I'm a chacham standing in front of my talmidim, and my son is my talmid. My nafkemina. What new dinim are generated by the mitzvah of limadatam osam es b'nechem? And the answer is kedima. In any particular circumstance, if logistically the Rebbe could not teach all the Talmidim in the class, and for some reason he would have to select some and leave out others because he can't reach them all, if, for example, you'd have to cap the registration, the number of students that are registered, the mitzvah of limadatam osam es b'nechem imposes upon this particular chacham a special chiyuv vis-a-vis his son. Despite the fact that his son is bichlal kol ha-talmidim, and the mitzvah of shinantam levanech applies, he still, as a father, has a special obligation vis-a-vis his son. In other words, the Rebbe in this case is wearing two hats at one and the same time. He's wearing the hat of a chacham, under the mitzvah of the shinantam. He's at the same time wearing the hat of an av vis-a-vis his son under the mitzvah of limadatam osam es b'necha. My nafkemina, the nafkemina of kedima. Im ef shalakayim shneim, if he has an either-or situation, a choice in which he cannot fulfill both obligations, then the obligation in this case vis-a-vis his son takes precedence, and it trumps the obligation vis-a-vis ben chaveru simply because he's chayav vis-a-vis his son in two mitzvahs, in two obligations, in v'limadatam and v'shinantam at one and the same time. I thought it was a pretty good pshat, and I was very happy with it. But I have to raise, in all honesty, two objections. The first objection is that, as we saw early in the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam offers not one but two answers to his question. And if you accept the Kisvei Yad, then the Rambam is adding the Schar as another addendum, Talocha Aleph, Talocha Bet, as an afkamina between V'limadatam and V'shinantam. This seems a little bit odd. I mean, if there are two students sitting in his class, and he has to choose which one to teach because he's wearing two hats at the same time as an av and as a chacham, why would the question of schar, of paying tuition, become relevant? You know, obviously he's able to teach begufo. You know, the Torah HaGuf kicks in over here. We're not talking about, we're not introducing any financial obligations. The Rambam's second chiluk, which again in the Kisvayadim, as the Kesef Mishnah postulates, is an answer to justify the Limadatam, would only make sense if the Rambam was asking the question, what's inherent in the mitzvah of Limadatam and the unique chiluk for the father vis-a-vis his son? It doesn't make sense if he's got an overlap situation. He's teaching both, but just he can't do both at the same time. So again, the second answer, the Rambam, v'chayav liskar malamid l'bno, but eino chayav liskar malamid l'ben chaver, that would seem to lead us back to square one, that the Rambam was trying to justify the mitzvah of limadat hamosam es b'neichem, rather than address the issue of an overlap and see what new dinim in the overlap situation are generated by the limadat. But I have a more fundamental objection to my pshat. Because quite honestly, my pshat assumes the following premise. That there is an overlap between these two mitzvahs. That I can have a class in which one student is not my relative and therefore obligates me under the shinantam, and another student obligating me in the mitzvah of limadatam because he happens to be my son. And I'd like to really analyze that assumption. Is there really an overlap between these two mitzvahs? Take a look, if you have the page, at numbers Hey and Vav on the page. The Rambam later on in Perek Aleph, in Halacha Zion, says, V'chayav l'lamdo b'schar, he has to teach his son Torah and pay for his tuition, ad sheyikra Torah shebichsav kula, until the point in which his son has studied the entire Torah, but which Torah the Rambam qualifies? Torah Shebichsav. Is that clear? Everybody see that in the Rambam? The Kesef Mishnah was so excited about this Rambam, and saw it as so fundamental, that he adds the following comment. And this radically changes our whole understanding of the obligation of a father to teach his son Torah. Umashma li, that's a number Vav on your page, demikan v'elech, meaning, after Torah Shebichsav, what's after Torah Shebichsav? Torah Shebichsav. Ein chayav l'lamdo, and please emphasize the next two words, afilu b'chinam. The chiyuv of the father vis-a-vis his son on the v'limadat hamosam es b'neichem, says the Kesef Mishnah, exhausts itself in Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav is not at all relevant to this mitzvah. Not even b'chinam. Of course, you'll ask me, if my son has to study Torah Shebaal Peh, do I have to see that he knows Torah Shebaal Peh? Well, the answer to that is obvious. He's no difference, he's not inferior to Ben Chavero. And then the mitzvah v'shinantam osam, v'shinantam uvanecha kicks in. But that only applies, as we said, to a chacham. And furthermore, I would not have to pay his tuition. So two things become absolutely clear from the Kesef Mishnah. Number one, I do not have to pay tuition for my son to study Torah Shebaal Peh. And again, I'm afraid to say that publicly, but that has tremendous implications because Torah Shebichsav, again, the truth is that we hardly teach our children Torah Shebichsav, but if it were done the right way, you know, we'd probably have our children studying Torah Shebichsav till the age of 10, as it says in the Mishnah novels. But, you know, that, you know, after my son is 10, I don't have to pay tuition. Wow. I mean, that have implications as far as the mitzvah of tzedakah is concerned. Because to pay for my son's tuition in Torah Shebaal Peh, according to the Kesef Mishnah, would come under the law of tzedakah, which means I can deduct it from my Maaser Ksavim. Hey, that's a nice idea. I go for that. But the second point that we have to derive from the Kesef Mishnah is, therefore, I have no chiv whatsoever, even if I'm a chacham, to teach my son Torah Shebaal Peh, except under the law of the Shinatam Levanecha. But the mitzvah of Limadatam doesn't kick in at all in Torah Shebaal Peh, not even Mechinam. Lecha Mishnah goes to town. He doesn't accept the Kesef Mishnah. But since today's Shia, I'm addressing the Kesef Mishnah, it now comes out the following, that the mitzvah of Limadatam only applies to Torah Shebichsav. Can anyone offer a scriptural support for the Kesef Mishnah, that the Chiv of the Father only applies to Torah Shebichsav? Can I somehow evoke a response from the audience? I'm sorry, I'm talking to you like I do to my Talmid. Any sort of diuk in the pasuk? Go back to the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Aleph. What does the pasuk say? The mitzvah dibur only applies to Torah shemichsav. This you'll find in the Rav Shulchan Aruch and many other sources. The Rav also held this way, that there's a fundamental difference between Torah shemichsav and Torah shebal peh. Torah shebal peh has nothing to do with dibur. It's pure shinun. Shinun means to study, to understand, to analyze. It's purely conceptual and abstract. On the other hand, Torah shemichsav requires dibur. If I were to look into a chumash, and this is nogei halacha l'maaseh, and I would read the words in the chumash bal peh my mind without enunciating them, without dibur, I would forfeit the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because in Torah shebichsav everything is dibur. But be that as it may, that opens up a whole other topic, which is not for this morning. What is the mitzvah of a chacham? V'shinantam levanecha elu talmidecha. Does anyone entertain the possibility that a Talmud is someone who's studying Torah shebichsav at the feet of his Rebbe? Does anyone entertain the possibility that the mitzvah v'shinantam, which is shinun, the Gemara Kiddushin is very famous, v'shinantam, shiyu divrei Torah mechudadim v'ficha, that any question that comes up you'll be able to handle, you'll be able to respond, that applies to Torah shebichsav? Don't misunderstand me, Rabbi Osei, I'm not trying to undermine diminish the significance of studying the 24 books of the Tanakh. But certainly that doesn't come under the mitzvah v'shinantam levanecha. And basically the upshot of this discussion is, given the case of Mishnah Halacha Zayin, the mitzvahs of v'limadatem and v'shinantam don't overlap at all. Because whereas on the one hand, the father's chiyuv vis-a-vis his son only applies to Torah shebichsav, he doesn't have to teach his son Torah shebal peh even b'chinam. V'shinantam, on the other hand, in the case of a chacham teaching a Talmud, is shinun. It's totally dedicated to Torah shebal peh. So how theoretically can I have an overlap situation? How can I have two talmidim sitting in my shir? One is my son, one is your son, and I'm obligated in both mitzvahs, v'limadatam and v'shinantam. V'limadatam and v'shinantam vis-a-vis my son, v'shinantam vis-a-vis your son, that's impossible. It's logically impossible because there's no overlap, because one is a mitzvah of Torah shebichsav and the other mitzvah is Torah shebal peh. Of course, I'm not excited about dumping my pshat, you know, because I worked hard to come up with it. So what I would suggest as a possibility is that there may yet be an overlap between the two mitzvahs. Because what would be in the case of someone, a young man, who has not been taught Torah shebichsav? Would the mitzvah of v'shinantam levanecha under those circumstances, assuming the Talmud is totally ignorant of the 24 books of the Holy Writ and the Torah shebichsav, would there be a chiyuv imposed on the chacham under the mitzvah of v'shinantam levanecha to teach the child not only Torah shebal peh, but Torah shebichsav as well? And I would suggest that the answer is yes. That even though the pasuk says v'shinantam, which is shinun, and even though the Torah says v'anecha elu talmidecha, nevertheless, in this particular set of circumstances, where the child has not been exposed to Torah shebichsav, it would be literally unthinkable to entertain the possibility that the chiyuv of the Rebbe of the Chacham under v'shinantam is limited to Torah shebal peh. It is impossible to teach Torah shebal peh without Torah shebichsav. Kol ha-Torah kula guf echad. Chefetz echad hu. It's impossible. It's one should never entertain the thought that Torah shebal peh can be studied without Torah shebichsav. Totally divorced from Torah shebichsav. Now it's true that if the Talmidim have gone through the proper curriculum, and they're sitting at the feet of the Chacham after having studied the Torah shebichsav, which was taught to them by their father, or by a boy kach, by someone who was hired by their father, now they're ready for moving on in life, and the curriculum would be Torah shebal peh. But given the fact that Talmidim have not been exposed to Torah shebichsav, then certainly the Rebbe would have to teach both. And under those circumstances, in that scenario, again, we have the Rambam's question, would v'limadatem generate a special chiyuv vis-a-vis my son? Because again, in this case, my son doesn't know Torah shebichsav. I have to teach him both Torah shebichsav and Torah shebal peh as one entity. Torah shebal peh under the mitzvah of v'shinantam, Torah shebichsav under the mitzvah of v'limadatem. And the Rambam wants to know is whether or not the mitzvah of v'limadatem would generate a special chiyuv in that case. However, Rabosai, before we conclude, I would like to suggest another pshat in the Rambam, just a whole different approach. As we said before, it's clear to the Rambam from square one, there's no need to justify the pasuk v'limanatam osam es b'neichem, that's an absolute chiyuv imposed upon the father vis-a-vis his son. But the Rambam is bothered perhaps by a different question. And here you'll have to allow a little bit more of a liberal kind of license to interpret the words of the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Im kein lomenitztave, im kein lomenitztave al bino." What does the Rambam mean in those words? "Im kein lomenitztave al bino." I would like to suggest the following. The Torah says v'shinantam levanech. And let's be honest about it, and the Rambam is honest about it, that the simple reading of the pasuk, what we call pashte dekra, ein mikra yotzim de pshuto, this pasuk is addressing whom? Not a chacham, I mean, if you take the pasuk, but rather a father, v'shinantam levanech. You know, if you've been saying kriyat shma, you know, since your childhood, you always assume v'shinantam levanech is a chiv on the father. But Mitiya Shmuel Lamdu, says the Rambam, Talmidecha, Banecha Elu Talmidecha. The Rambam is asking a different question. Given the fact that Pashtei Dekra V'Shinantam Levanecha addresses the father, Vlominitz Tava Al Beno. The Rambam is not going back to the Pasuk V'Limadetem Osam Es Benecha. The Rambam is totally immersed in the Sugya here in Halacha Beis, of v'shinantam levanech. And the Rambam wants to understand, if the pasuk, if the mitzvah v'shinantam levanech generates unique dinim that apply to a father vis-a-vis his son. Forget about v'limadetem osam es b'neichem. Put that on the side. That applies to Torah Shabbat. We're learning Torah Shabbat Peh. And if we're learning Torah Shabbat Peh, then the only mitzvah that kicks in according to the Kesef Mitzvah is v'shinantam levanecha. But wait a minute, says the Rambam. V'shinantam levanecha addresses the father. Lomenitz taval b'no. Can you justify the fact that al pi pashtei dekra, the Torah is certainly explicitly addressing the father, imposing a special obligation upon the father? So what we get back to now is the following question. True that I'm a chacham, and I'm chayev in v'shinantam levanecha mipi ha-shmua, because mipi ha-shmua lamdu elu talmidecha. But at the same time, does the mitzvah of v'shinantam levanecha impose a unique obligation upon me vis-a-vis my son based on pashtei dekra? And the Rambam is basically postulating two mitzvahs, both of which are inherent in the pasuk v'shinantam levanecha. On the one hand, v'shinantam levanecha imposes a unique chiyuv upon the father. That's pashtei dekra. And at the same time, mipi ha-shmua lamdu, talmidecha, is included on the banecha, and I have a chiyuv vis-a-vis your son, because he's my talmid. And once again, the Rambam wants to know here, why did the Torah feel compelled to use the term banecha? Why did the Torah say v'shinantam le-talmidecha? The Torah is not allergic to the word Talmud. Why didn't the Torah indicate ki hu zeh, al pi pashtei dekra, in Torah Shabbat, that this chiyuv is purely, uniquely dedicated to the Chacham to teach Ben Chavero? On the contrary, the Torah leads us in a different direction, to the conclusion that there is inherent in this pasuk some chiyuv imposed upon the father, pashtei dekra v'shinantam levanech. What am I trying to gain by this? Take a look at the Kesef Mishnah that we began with. That's number Beis on your sheet. The Kesef Mishnah says the following. Avalham is safkali. Do you have the last line and a half in the Kesef Mishnah? The Kesef Mishnah raises the following suffix. I ben bito kodem leben chaver.
What happens in the case of a grandson, but this boy is my grandson because he's my daughter's son? Now, I have a question here of kedima, because I have to teach your son, and at the same time I have to teach my grandson. So who comes first? Well, the Rambam is clear that a grandson comes before your son, but that's only if it's ben beno. What about ben bito? So the Kesef Mishnah raises this as a suffix. He says, the efshar, it's possible, the aim kodem leben chavero, elahecha dinischayav bi'aviv. It's possible, says the Kesef Mishnah, that the kedima of a grandson over ben chavero only applies where the father of this child was obligated. And so to speak, the grandfather now picks up his son, the father of the child's chiyuv. So it's a kind of, if you're familiar with Yesh Nochlin, a mishmash nachla situation in which, you know, the grandfather inherits his grandson through his son. So too, the grandfather here inherits the chiyuv of the father vis-a-vis his grandson in Talmud Torah. But if it's my daughter's son, and my daughter doesn't have any obligation in Talmud Torah, then my grandson, meaning my daughter's son, has no special status in the midst of Talmud Torah. Aval gabi bas leko lemeimar hachi. It's impossible to say that the grandfather vicariously picks up his daughter's chiyuv to teach his grandson, meaning her son, simply because she's not obligated in the midst of Talmud Torah. Now watch what's going on in this Kesef Mishnah. There's a very subtle technical difficulty in calculating this Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah assumes, without blinking an eye, that there's no chiyuv to teach my grandson Torah under the mitzvah of Odatam Levanecha Levnei Vanecha if he's my grandson because he's my daughter's son. Because Banecha Bnei Banecha only applies through Zerabanim, through the male children, because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is only imposed upon the male, on the men. However, at the same time, the Kesef Mishnah raises the possibility that Ben Bito would have Kedima over Ben Chavera. So if I had a choice between teaching my daughter's son Torah and your son Torah, my grandson, my daughter's son, would come first. This is logically impossible. How could you imagine a din kedima to give first dibs to your daughter's son when there's no chiyuv of Talmud Torah to teach your daughter's son? Not under the mitzvah of Limad Tavosim Es Bneichem, nor under the mitzvah of Bnei Bneichem, because it only goes through Zerabanim. How then can the Kesef Mishnah postulate or suggest the possibility that Ben Bito takes kedima over Ben Chavero? There's a logical contradiction inherent in the Kesef Mishnah. On the one hand, he assumes, without questioning, as a Dover Pasha, that I have no chiv to teach my daughter's son Torah under the law of a grandfather. But on the other hand, there is a din kedima that kicks in, and I have a chiv to give precedence to my daughter's son, according to one side of the Kesef Mishnah, above your son. But why? If the mitzvah of Limad Tam Osam Es Bneichem doesn't kick in this case, then all I'm left with is Vishinatam Levanecha. My daughter's son has the same status as your son. There's no special chiyuv that applies. You see, din kedima makes sense when it's my son and I have your son and I'm obligated to teach your son under Vishinantam. I have to teach my son under two different chiyuvim. First of all, under Vishinantam, because my son is not inferior to any Talmud on the face of the earth. And secondly, under the mitzvah of Limadatam. But supposing there's no Limadatam, for example, in Ben Bito, where there's no Limadatam, all I'm left with is Vishinantam Levanecha. So this question is raised by Rav Rokeach, Elezer Rokeach, some 3 centuries ago. You'll see it in Number Gimel. He says, Nira li, the dafkalinin kedima mesupak rabbeinu, aval inyon chiyuv, ein ze chiyuv lamed im ben bito. Says that the Arbat Turi Evan, that it's clear that there's no chiyuv whatsoever vis-a-vis my daughter's son, under the law of the mitzvah of the Limaditem. Nevertheless, there may be a din kedima. But this is
logically, one cannot maintain that position. How? What would justify Din Kedima to Ben Bito if there's no Chiyuv of Talmud Torah vis-a-vis Ben Bito? There's no Vlimaritem, no Vodatem. So why would I give Kedima to Ben Bito? So I was thinking, but it bothered me. B'shas Adchak, maybe what's going on in the Kesef Mishnah, the Arbitrary Evan, is some sort of halach of tzedakah. But, you know, and therefore, there's again, it's a long discussion. B'psarach al tisalem, my chiv tzedakah always, I give precedence to my blood relatives. So maybe my daughter's son, as a grandson, takes precedence under the mitzvah of the mitzvah klolis, the general mitzvah of tzedakah b'psarach al tisalem. But that's literally impossible in the Rambam, because the Rambam is addressing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He's not mentioning here, there's no footnote in the Rambam that this is a tzedakah mitzvah that kicks in over here. Therefore, in order to justify the Kesef Mishnah, I would suggest the following. That the mitzvah v'shinantam livanecha generates a twofold obligation. One on the basis of Pashtei Dekra, and Mikriyotzi de Pshuto, and that's a chiyuv on the father vis-a-vis Banecha. And now we have to raise the question, what does Banecha mean? Is it Dafka Zera Banim? Or is it even in Zera Banos? Like the Gemara says in Yevamos, Bnei Banim Areim Kin Banim. The Gemara says specifically that you can fulfill the mitzvah of Piri Virivya if your daughter has children, because your daughter's children are considered banim, and you fulfill the mitzvah of Piri Virivya because Bnei Banim Areim Kin Banim. Or no? Or should we assume that that might apply to Piri Virivya, but has no implication, no application to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which purely Banecha is purely Zera Banim? But all this, this entire suffix in the Kesef Mishnah exhausts itself in the pasuk Vishinantam Livanecha, because Vishinantam Livanecha is to be seen on two different dimensions. On the one hand, Banecha Kipshuto, which means my children and my grandchildren to the end of the generations, and Banecha Mipiyashvu Olam Du'elu Talmidecha. Says the Rambam, in Kein Laman It's Taval Bnov, what justifies the simple reading of the text, the simple fundamental chiyuv of Vishinantam Livanecha without Mipiyashvua? What do I need it for if anyway I'm obligated vis-a-vis my children, my grandchildren, under the mitzvah of Mipi Hashmua Lamdu Banecha Elu Talmidecha? And the Rambam's answer is Kedima. That Banecha generates a new din of Kedima al Pipashtei Dekra. That this mitzvah of Vishinantam generates a specific obligation by virtue of the fact that these are my children or my children's children, and therefore the Pashtei Dekra creates a halach of Kedima. And if this be the case, we can justify the Kesef Mishnah. The din of Kedima applies to Ben Bito, according to one side in the Kesef Mishnah, depending upon how you interpret the word Banecha, despite the fact that I have no special chiyuv of limaritem of Talmud Torah to teach Ben Bito. And the answer to that is because of the mitzvah v'shinatam. Forget about v'limanatam. Surely v'limanatam doesn't apply in Ben Bito. But despite that fact, v'shinatam applies in Ben Bito to answer the question and justify the Pashtei Dekra v'shinatam levanecha. Says the Rambam, my nafkemina. The Rambam says that the nafkemina is to generate a din kedima. That Ben Bito comes first in a choice situation, either or, between your grandson, your daughter's son, and Ben Chavero, you give precedence to Ben Bito. And why? Because the Shinantam Levanecha generates a special chiv of teaching your grandson, even your daughter's son. If this be the case, again, we can maintain two positions. Number one, the Rambam was never raising the question in Kein Laman It's Tav to justify the Limanatem. His discussion is totally focused on the Pasuk Vishinantam. And number two, what we gain is some logical justification for the suffix in the Kesef Mishnah, that perhaps the Pasuk Vishinantam of Nech itself generates new dinim and new chiyuvim that are incumbent upon a blood relative, in this case a father or a grandfather. What we have not yet successfully answered is the question of the second nafkamina that the Rambam postulates, namely the din of schar. And here, of course, we would have to rely on the girsa of the Rambam that the chiyuv schar opens up a new halacha, not like the kisvei yad. But then, we'll have a problem with the original Kesef Mishnah that we mentioned, because he seems to support the Girsa of the Kisfaya. In conclusion, I just want to say the following. And this is more on a Hashkafic level. In number Zayin Edome, Shona Pirko, Mea Pa'omim, Lashona Pirko, Mea Pa'om V'yachas. The Gemara Chagiga postulates that you cannot compare two Talmidim, one who studies, he reviews his lesson 100 times, and the other reviews his lesson 101 time. And the Gemara says that the first Talmid who reviews it 100 times is not an Oved Elokim, the second one is an Oved Elokim, interpreting the Pasuk in Malachi. What is so significant about the 101st time? And the answer, I believe, and it's something that's pretty shaking, pretty radical for our generation, is that the standard curriculum in those days was for a Talmud to review his lesson 100 times. I'd like to see any Talmud who reviews his lesson more than once. 100 times. But there's always one Talmud who, despite the fact that he's fulfilled the standard requirement and the curriculum, and he's lived up to all that he's expected to live up to, he adds another time. He can't part from the Torah. He's pulled gravitationally towards the Torah itself. Learn it one more time. That 101st time. And that extra 101st time is Megala Milson reveals that this Talmud has such a craving for Torah, such a desire to study Torah, that he can't part with it. And that's the 101st, that makes him an Oved Elokim, a person who seeks out an intimate relationship with God, with the Shekhinah. I just want to commend all of you, Kol Yom Rishon, who've put in the 101st time, and this is way beyond the curriculum. And to all the Talmidim, to really crave the Torah, to love the Torah, its Kedusha, its sanctity, its connection to Shekhinah. And if we love the Torah, we cherish it, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will love us, and in Mirtz Hashem, we'll be zochet to see Binyan Beis Hamikdash from there. Thank you, Tevye. Thank you so
much. Thank you very much, Rabbi Berzon. We'll see you again next week. Rabbi Alan Schwartz, Rabbi Dr. David Horowitz, please make sure to join us for a great week.